is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Socks, straw basket, and a tire box. Yeah, Kotoki giving her advice about them Nassau people. Say, watch out who you walk with, Hela. Watch out who you talk with, Hela. Keep all your valuable things out of sight. Cause Hela, 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 you're gonna keep in town tonight. Whenever there's regatta on island, people come from miles around to have fun in old Georgetown. It's then that this cry goes out through all the land, warning all the people. Say, lock up all your window, Hela, lock up all your door.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Monday, the 11th of August, 25, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. And Fox Hill Day is tomorrow, Tuesday in August. Got a little write-up, so you could be prepared if you want to participate in the remaining festivities for... I'm looking at my notes here. I'm a bad Fox Hillian. In fact, the people say, you ain't even a Fox Hillian. You live off the Eastern Road, miss. But the celebrations... In fact, let me turn to Mr. Newry, the resident Fox Hillian in the studio. Mr. Newry, what is the formal name of the week of activities in Fox Hill that begins on Emancipation Day and ends on Fox Hill Day, the second Tuesday in August?
Okay, let me start off. Fox Hill Day, or the week of events, is done by the Fox Hill Association.
Right.
Right. I should know the person in charge of that, and his name escapes me. Last one is Tynes, but this, I know his name.
No, the name's right here. Mr. Mitchell's name is in the article. There's another person who was quoted in the article.
Let me see if that's the gentleman I'm talking about.
I may have not included it and only included comments by
him. He's in charge of the Fox Hill Association and all of the events that happens there. Anyway.
It was Mr. Mitchell who was speaking in this article.
So, okay.
Fox Hill Festival. That's what it's called. The Fox Hill Festival.
Fox Hill Festival Committee. So he's in charge of organizing the whole event and negotiating with private entities to come and participate. That includes junk canoe. That includes using urban renewal. It includes the vendors. He's in charge of all of that. It's a whole committee who does the... They even have a PR team.
Yeah.
So how did Fox Hill Day come about? Fox Hill Day is a church celebration, actually, in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
The churches of the community have come together to create a festival that of sorts there, where it's over like 120 years now. Mm-hmm. Or festival they've been doing. And each year, the committee goes to one of the churches in that Fox Hill area. If you go on that Fox Hill Road proper and going on to that, Fox Hill Road, Bernard Road and Fox Hill Road proper, you see there's a number of churches in the community that are very close to each other. And every year, each of the committee goes to each one of the churches.
So one of the churches is selected to be the service home for the festival.
Yes.
Okay.
There even is a parade of churches on that day too, where you go to one church, then go to the next church, and go to the next church also.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the oral narrative is...
That it took a week for the news to get from Gambier Village to Fox Hill Village.
It's a good narrative. I like it still. I don't think we should denounce it. It adds to the charm of...
We should have a pilgrimage.
Part of Fox Hill Day, we have a Fox Hill Run.
There's a fun run.
As our part of our narrative is... news or criers used to run from Fox Hill to go to Adelaide and whatever it is. And so we still continue that run to this day. So that happens as part of Fox Hill Day early in the morning.
Man, cowbells. Hold on. Ministry of Tourism.
Okay, man.
Ministry of Tourism. Yes. Okay, so I got another question for our expert Fox Hillian in studio.
Expert.
Where is the Fox Hill Parade Grounds and where's Freedom Park? What's the difference?
Well, so you see there's two parks, right?
Yeah.
There's two parks, and both of the parks were cemeteries. So we are on sacred ground. These are our ancestors. Our ancestors are at the bottom of the park. And most of the parks in the Bahamas used to be former burial grounds. So we need to have narratives on the parks in general of who is buried there. These are old burial grounds.
And then why it's so important to maintain the parks.
Yeah, they're sacred spaces.
Yeah.
They're sacred spaces. So the main park is the one on the roundabout.
Okay.
And when the next one is near the basketball court.
All right. So if you come in from Bernard Road.
From Bernard Road.
Heading east.
Yes.
You hit the roundabout and you stop at the stop sign.
Yes,
because on Bernard Roadside, there's a stop sign.
Yes, Freedom Park.
So the roundabout is Freedom Park.
Freedom Park.
And then when you go right, if you go right onto the roundabout.
Left?
No, right onto the roundabout. You had Bernard Road.
Bernard.
You go left to go up Fox Hill Road to Eastern Road.
Keep on going on the roundabout.
No, I'm at the stop sign.
Okay.
So stop NIB sign. Is on my left. The park is on my right.
And the park is
on my stop sign.
Park was still,
so yeah, I can go right around the roundabout.
You go still go right, the around the roundabout.
And then on my left-hand side, immediate exit off the roundabout, the basketball court right there to my left.
Yes, in the bathrooms.
And the bathrooms.
In the bathroom.
Nice.
Yeah, the bathrooms are there.
Good.
Yeah, and urban renewal is next door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I appreciate that because that means that you understand how the space is occupied by the community members.
Mm-hmm.
You know who occupies it. You know there are a lot of senior men there. And you know there are a lot of men and you don't want to encourage them to be urinating on walls or in the public. So you ensure that the bathrooms are always working to preserve the dignity of the men and the safety of the community.
Yeah, there's a number of historical buildings still there, too, erected, which need to be taken care of. It has some challenges, weathered. Hopefully, in the future, we'll be able to take care of those buildings, too.
So, last night they had the gospel concert.
Yes.
And tomorrow we'll begin with church services at four local Baptist churches, like you said, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. P.M. Davis will attend.
It's like a church crawl.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just go to the next one.
They give communion at each church.
We go back to the gospel concert. They get free food. I mean, I like free things.
Yeah.
I mean, I collect everything and put in my bag. I mean, my taxes pay for it. Anyway, I collect everything and put in my bag and move on.
There you go. So it's going to be exciting. I want to thank you for learning me some things. Right. I realized, remember when we were talking about traffic when Ian was here?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Ian, hurry up and come back
so
we could man down again.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't get to my third point, which was implying that we have adopted and inculcated, I think, in the wrong spaces. Mm-hmm. And this was the last one. What is understood does not need to be explained.
Mm.
And I realized people take that as a mantra on the road with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I tell you about my Ganep tree and the raccoons that like to occupy it.
Go ahead.
Well, this year the raccoons didn't occupy it. You know why? Because that generation of raccoon either passed away or moved out of the area. And the new generation of raccoon don't know about the Ganep tree or how to eat Ganep.
Mm.
Right? And I realized somebody had to teach the raccoon how to eat Ganep, or it had to learn it from someone, right? Mm. And if nobody teaches the raccoon how to eat the Ganep, then the raccoon just don't know the Ganep will be safe.
Mm.
And I realize that's how we treat the public roads, right? Like what is understood don't need to be explained. But if it's not explained, how do you know that they understand it? If they don't explain it to you, how do you know that they understand it? And if no one actually explained it to them, how are we certain that they understand it?
Yes.
You know, this little segment is prompted by an unfortunate news piece this morning from news. Two men dead in Abaco. Our news has confirmed with police that a traffic fatality occurred overnight in Abaco involving two men, one of whom is believed to be the father of Olympian Steve Gardner.
Oh,
Mr. D'Amico Archer, president of the BAAAs, confirms and says, "It is with deep sadness that we find ourselves having to offer sympathies to one of our very own." Quote, "Stephen Gardner's father, Stephen Gardner Sr., who died in a traffic accident last evening in Abaco, along with another passenger," close quotes, Archer said in a statement this morning. We pray condolences for Stevie Gardner Jr., Stevie Gardner Sr.'s entire family and the community in Abaco on this tragic loss. Caller, I'm going to need you to hold the line. We're going to a break. When we get back from the break, I'm going to get that call and I'm going to explain to you why what is understood does not have to be explained is so problematic. Stay tuned. On the Clock with Erin Green.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Is your business ready for the next big step? More inventory? New equipment? A larger space? At Fidelity, we offer commercial loans tailored to suit your business's needs. Inquire today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. There's lots to talk about in the paper today, so let me give you all the numbers to call. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. For Family Island listeners, this is a toll-free number, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. I wanted to ask Family Islanders, Eleuthera people, Mayaguana people, Abaco people, to call in and tell us what are your experiences with power generation over the last several months. We got a toll-free number for you, but then I realized that if you suffer in with a lack of consistent power supply, then you may not have the resources, right? Like you may be reserving your data or minutes, right, for emergencies and the most important communications. Looking at today's business in the Trib section in the Tribune, Abaco blasts BPL bill doubling amid outages. Abaco residents and businesses were yesterday said to have endured multiple power outages for several days, with several complaining bills have doubled amid worsening service and reliability. Roscoe Thompson, head of the Marsh Harbor Spring City Township, told Tribune Business that the problems have been especially bad in areas such as Marsh Harbor and Treasure Key, with Bahamas Power and Light confirming that 50% of the generation capacity at the island's main Wilson City power plant is currently offline, with just one of the two offline generation units likely to return to operational service within the next 10 days. And the other out of action until mid-September. BPL said in a statement that a fault on one of its two remaining, and we turn to page B6, two remaining in-service engines sparked the weekend's load shedding. One business owner speaking to Tribune Business on condition of anonymity said their power had been off four times in the last 24 hours. Everyone's power bills have doubled, they added. Quote, we're paying two times, as close quotes, as much for half the service. It started in earnest 2 days ago. That's Friday. Quote, they said one of their generators was offline and needed emergency repairs. I think the problems are far bigger than what they're telling us, close quotes, another source based in Treasure Key added. Quote, definitely load shedding. Quote, up here in Treasure Key, we have been on and daily over the last 3 days. June was horrendous, but definitely looks like strategic load shedding. Bills have doubled, but our consumption is unchanged. Mr. Thompson, who was in Cherokee Sound when contacted by this newspaper last night, said, quote, from what I hear in Marsh Harbor and Treasure Key, it's been pretty bad the last couple of days. My question is, what's going on here? I know they have 412 megawatt generators. How many are operational? It goes back to maintenance, the upkeep. I'm going to close quotes there. I don't know. It's just troubling. I can't imagine how Family Island residents feel, because the 2013, I almost lost my mind. Not just with the lack of consistent power supply, you know, but with the lack of coherent communications from both the state and the service provider as to the status of the entity, the status of its generation capacity, and then the status of the many troubling issues that arose from those matters. Alstom and the bribe taken by someone with no decision-making capacity. The 2018 generator fire. And no one has ever responded. Nobody has ever presented the investigation and the results thereof to the public. None of it. It's troubling. And to these Family Island residents, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you, because what more could I tell you than what I've been saying over the last multitude of years? In 2013, it's now 20, that's 12 years, that if you do not demand answers around the Alstom case, you will never resolve the energy crisis. Here we are. So there are lots of things to talk about currently as we speak. The government is engaged in the first round of consultation with the National Junkanoo Authority of the Bahamas bill. An article on Friday in the Nassau Guardian, government to begin consultation on Junkanoo Authority bill. As he announced the start of public consultation on the bill, Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture Mario Boleg yesterday accused Free National Movement leader Michael Pintard of being hypocritical in his opposition to the legislation. The session started this morning, I think, at 9 a.m., flyers posted by the government indicated that it would be an open session, that first come, first serve, the seats are limited. Another communication indicated that only two representatives from each Junkanoo group would be permitted to attend, seats are limited. Incoherent and confusing messaging on the process. I hope this is not an indicator of how the process will proceed. But we look forward to it. I was unable to determine whether the session itself is actually broadcast, because some people think that you should take an hour to drive from Johnson Road to Nassau Street. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. It'll be very interesting to find out later today which Junkanoo group sent representatives to the consultation. Did they send any at all? Who did attend? Maybe in the break I could look for an update. Mr. Newry, liquor stores face new process for licensing focused on restricting proximity to schools and churches.
Okay.
What I found interesting, here we go, the town planning committee chairman, Keenan Johnson, said that the policy is not new, but it had not been consistently applied due to limited public awareness. Full stop. Mr. Newry, what do you think he means? Don't worry about it. I got to answer that question because I'm not a fisherman. I ain't supposed to be baiting you. My apologies. Again, the town planning committee chairman, Keenan Johnson, said that the policy is not new, but it had not been consistently applied due to limited public awareness. How could limited public awareness prevent town planning from following through in existence? How does a lack of public awareness enable the operation of liquor stores next to schools if the regulations say it's not permissible? That was not the only thing that concerned me, Mr. Newry, in the article, but I think it may be the most troubling, because why are you blaming the public for this? If the legislation, if the regulations already exist. Anyway, for those people who operate liquor stores or who want to operate liquor stores, you must go to the Department of Inland Revenue and ensure that you are aware of, have in your hands the new legislation or the new proposed legislation. Liquor stores will have to register through a new Department of Inland Revenue online portal starting September 1st, with a renewed focus on ensuring such businesses are not close to schools and churches. Registration is now mandatory nationwide and applies to both new and existing liquor businesses. With a certificate of registration and a business license required. So before you only had to get a liquor license, now you have to engage two separate processes. You get the license and you need a certificate of registration. Department of Inland Revenue Acting Director Shonda Strawn said applications are submitted via an online portal and the DIR is required to notify the public and conduct consultations as part of the process. But see, here's public shows up to the public consultation. How does that impact existing regulation? Producer, let's prep the caller. Oh, you ready? Good morning, caller.
Morning, Miss Green.
Morning, sir. How are you?
Mr. Newry.
Morning.
Good. Let me find the sound.
Hello?
You still there? Okay, good. We can hear you.
Hi, Aaron. Hi, CA.
Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
Here's my interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that some of these businesses are already in close proximity to schools, and schools and one or two other places that they shouldn't be close to,
mm-hmm.
How is this regulation? What is the DIR now going to do with these businesses, seeing that they are already established? Are they going to make these businesses move relocate? Or what is going to be, what is the end result for new policy that's put in place? You know, there's something I guess a lot of people are now asking, because there are a few liquor stores that is too close to schools
mm-hmm.
and churches. And I just want to know, you know, there's no clear, definitive information on what's the end result for this entire process. So that's what we want to know. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Let me read quickly from the article. Mrs. Strawn warned that having a current license does not guarantee approval for registration. Quote, the things that Inland Revenue is going to consider when we make the determination as to whether or not the registration certificate should be granted, we're going to consider the concentration of liquor stores in the area that you're trying to open the liquor store in. Of course, as I said before, proximity to schools and places of worship, the suitability of the premises, and that's a new thing. That's something, while our sister agencies, Physical Planning and Ministry of Works, paid attention to the structure and the location, we have this new thing called the suitability of the premises. So I've not seen any explicit statement indicating that liquor stores within the restricted zone will be removed. But that sentence, Mrs. Strawn warned that having a current license does not guarantee approval for registration, should suggest to existing business owners that they may have their license pulled, right? So there's no guarantee. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there? Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Yeah, Nuri did a very, very good job for Fox and Fox and the Bible. He's a fox and a man.
Yeah, man.
Well, Maurice Times, the name he wants to have in his mind, he can ask him about the liquor stores in Fox Hill and how that happened right under his nose, eh? Mm. Yeah, but more importantly, though, I want to talk about load shedding.
Okay.
And load sharing, something that we have never considered in our dominance in this province. We have to resort to load shedding, because if we don't, the demand becomes greater than the supply, and BP, whatever you want, I call it, will light up and blow right up. So we got to cut, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we were moving toward load sharing, which civilized countries do, they allow other entities supply and have regulation done. Of course, I don't think this IRCA is capable of regulating two energy supplies. But however, then you never have this issue with load shedding.
You know, caller, we attempted that, and we should have that, and put it in inverted commas. If you go to the stadium, the track stadium, where the former car licensing place is, you see they have the, what do you call that place with the solar panels?
Yeah. Oh, the stadium?
Yeah. That was for...
I saw it on fire the other day, too.
It was on fire, too? That was created to send back energy or sell back energy to BEC.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. It's there. I'm not sure what the panels are there for
anymore.
Exactly. But it was there to get the same thing you're talking about. It was created for that.
Well,
it's not doing that right now.
Right now, there's supposed to be some charging stations there, right? And so they're supposed
blocked.
To be power.
It's blocked. You can't get your car there unless you use a scooter.
Okay.
And during your popping and thing.
I'm just very troubled about what is this new era in energy reform and the lack of coherence, clarity, and transparency about the whole thing. There's so many pieces and parts of the conversation that are just missing. But thank you, caller. Let's go to the next caller before we get back to the liquor store discussion. Good morning, caller.
Ms. Green.
Hey, good morning.
My call was... I don't know if it's drop or cut off, whatever.
That's just an opportunity. Hold on. That's just an opportunity for me to talk about the service providers. Don't watch
it. Hello?
I say we're going to smile. It's just an opportunity to talk about the service providers.
Yes, ma'am. But let me say something about that thing the general was talking about first at the stadium. I think that was set up wrong. I think that should have been the sun rises in the east. I think that should have been set up to the east to get as much energy as it possibly can before the sun moves around. Because when the sun moves around to the western part, the building then block the thing.
Yeah.
But let me ask you something about the liquor store license.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If I have a liquor store in a building or in an area, whatever,
mm-hmm.
right? That's my liquor. I done been there 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
somebody decides that them and their pastor ain't getting along, so they want to open up a church in the plaza where I'm at, with they 10, 15 people, what then happens to me when time for me to renew my liquor? Now, don't forget, now, I had this license over 5 years in this place. Never had no problem with nobody. Nobody come caring on bad. Everybody just come buy their thing or sit down, drink their thing, and go. What now happens to
okay.
me?
I got you.
Somebody decides they want to open up
okay.
a church.
I got you. I got
next
I, okay.
me.
I got you. So let's start here. It appears to me, right, that the presence of the Department of Inland Revenue and the nature of what it is they do, that that's going to be the lightning rod, right? And that with the change in protocols because of the tax and compliance obligations. Now that the Department of Inland Revenue has stepped in, it appears as if all of the various elements involved in the decision-making process are now going to be brought onto the same silo or platform so that they can communicate more clearly, right? In an instance like this where the liquor store existed first, then a process should begin where whoever's responsible for making the assessment should determine, okay, the liquor store was here first. How many occupants of the church you have? Like, are there other locations suited in the nature of your entity, church, whatever it is? Because you may be suggesting that this is the only place where I could host my church, right? But the liquor store was here first. So In the article, Mrs. Strawn from Department of Inland Revenue indicates that there is an appeal process, but the restructuring of the process should make for more effective decision-making because all of the parties, physical planning, Ministry of Works, business licensing, that they're all going to be like speaking from the same book, right? In that instance, if the liquor store was there first, I don't see that the church should be prioritized over the liquor store, but there may be a consideration that there is already a proliferation of liquor stores in the area. I would expect that if a previous owner is being required to move, that they are facilitated in finding appropriate location with the resources of Department of Inland Revenue and the agencies. Because if you're telling me that you've made a decision that you're going to move me because there's already a proliferation, I'm the last liquor store in, there's no other place for this church to go, then at the very least, you're going to help me find a location that is suitable. Right? But like I say, the presence of Department of Inland Revenue and what appears to be a reform in the protocol will make these decisions fairer and more efficient. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Hey, first question, right?
Mm-hmm.
How is that going to work if a liquor store, every Sunday is a liquor store, a church is? Second thing, right? You know the Chinese can find some way to circumvent that.
That's a very, very reckless statement you made there. And on behalf of the Chinese business community, it's reckless. You cannot say it like that, man. Okay? Now, the question we can ask is, why is it with existing legislation that so many liquor stores have been authorized to operate next to schools? And then we identify who those liquor stores are owned by.
But presently,
and then we make a determination based on the figures, right? That whether we can say there is a preponderance of Chinese-owned liquor stores in areas where they're not authorized to be. But let's not be reckless, you know?
What is the truth?
You don't know the truth.
Boy,
hold on.
E Street.
But listen.
You saw E Street recently?
I'm telling you the right way to do it, you know.
Okay,
No, because here's what I'm saying. We could sit there and make noise, mm-hmm. but there's a right way to address the problem if you see that a problem exists. And what I'm telling you is using the language that you're using is only going to create an environment where it's less likely for you to achieve the solution you're looking for. That's all I'm saying.
I got you.
And that's the truth, because you know where we live.
I got you.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Yeah, man. Absolutely. Because I sit here trying to fix my mouth on how to say, what you mean the inability to enforce the regulations is because of a lack of public awareness? Come on, that's madness. Producer, let's prep the next caller, because there's just one more thing I want to touch on in here, and it is when asked if the process signals the start of a crackdown on drive-through and takeout bars. Because drive-through, I don't know what a takeout bar is, but let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. New York. You're doing well this morning.
How you do?
In a nation, in a Christian nation, where the Bible says that alcohol is the devil water, it behooves me that we have so many.
Hold on, where they say that? Where they say that in the Bible?
The Bible condemns alcohol, ma'am.
Jesus, no,
but my Lord is a bib.
The Bible.
The only positive thing I can recall, otherwise, the Bible says, "Give the man who have little problems a little bit of wine or something, so he can forget his problems."
So what Jesus drank at the wedding?
The Bible condemns alcohol.
Jesus drank at the wedding?
Hold on.
I'm just asking what he drank.
We know that Jesus drank wine at the wedding, but the question is this:
give him a little wine to make him merry, right? But like I said, it's not the Bible says strong drink is not a good thing. Alcohol is not a good.
No,
thing.
The Bible is saying. Treat your temple as holy and drink in moderation. Like everything you do, do it in moderation. But
I agree. But
because you know Jesus turned the water into wine at his own wedding, right?
And says it's a good wine. What do you mean his own wedding?
But I agree.
Just his own wedding.
It's not, right? Because, here?
No, don't mind that. Go ahead.
I agree with my brother who called talking about how many churches we have and how many liquor stores we have, because I was going to say, on every corner you find a church and a liquor store, and it's going to be interesting to see how they sort this problem out, where they, you know what I mean, are able to implement this thing that they have, right? But, I mean, I appreciate the public consultation, right, Ms. Green and Mr. Nuri?
Mm-hmm.
But if you have protocols in place, right, if you have laws and regulations in place to say, well, okay, no liquor store within a certain distance of this place and only X amount of liquor stores, you know what I mean? If you already have those protocols or already have those rules and things and policy already, and you don't really need public consultation. Have your law on the book, what you're consulting the public for. I mean, like I say, I appreciate the public consultation. But if you're going to have a policy, present your policy to the public and see if we agree with your policy. And once we agree with your policy and your protocol that you want to carry out as it relates to these liquor stores, then just do it. You don't have to consult us on anything anymore, if you understand the point I'm making.
Yes, sir.
And lastly, I heard a little discussion about the electric bills and things like that, about people complaining about it doubling and stuff. Listen. Anybody who believed that electricity bills didn't go down because the politicians them say so as a means why they have to do to BEC and BPL, right? I got a bridge I want to sell you.
Thank you very much. You too. You thought I was going to let him say the most controversial thing on my show, Nuri? I got a text here that says, wine was served at the wedding, but Jesus did not partake in it, and the wine was not fermented. Well, what type of wine it is? You sound like the woman who say to the waiter, if she like fish, but do you have any other fish that don't swim?
Did the Bible say the wine was not fermented? And why would we assume that Jesus did not partake of it? Did the Bible
say it was his wedding? Why wouldn't he partake?
You would his wedding.
Good morning, caller.
Mr. Nuri.
Hey.
Hello, Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to thank you for reminding a lot of ignoramuses that, it was his wedding. Mary of Magdalene was his wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hate to believe that. Man, see, give me a break. Listen, let me forget about that.
Go ahead.
It's Monday morning.
If you start wanting the wine, why would it be alcoholic? But let me just say this and say some factual things here. Firstly, during this summer solstice, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the gentleman is getting up early enough, but the sun rises in the northeast, not the east. Look at the difference, and it doesn't set directly. You're able to notice things when you appreciate God. Majesty and life that he gave you. Notice it. I just be up early in the morning on the bridge. The sun rises in the northeast. And then secondly, we have a lot of decisions that lack visions, man-made decisions now. Like Chris said just now, you know, why the consultation when you could follow the laws as relate to city ordinances? Anybody can see the proliferation of liquor stores within the inner city. Only a blind man can see that. Mm-hmm. Even a blind man can see that. And so when we juxtapose the social dynamics and the follow, right? City ordinance is simple. Like, have you ever noticed that if you on Meadow Street or Meeting Street or any street and you have to traverse to Bayntown, do you ever notice that there's always people blocking the road? And so you have a proliferation of liquor stores. So people are intoxicated and then they feel as if they own the road. So black people are so impoverished that they feel that they should impede your way to drive to the inner city because you don't pay a license and you don't deserve to drive to their corner and you have to blow for them to move out and they will get an interaction with the driver. All of these things can solve little, small, little human like encounters, you know. Mm-hmm. I should have to blow my horn if somebody sees. This is show you the lack of respect we have for one another, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And so we see the proliferation of liquor stores for decades now, but they allow this. So corruption is monetized, and so it just goes on and on. You see what I'm saying? And the citizens can't speak out because it's always a problem.
Absolutely. All right? Thank you. Thank you very much, 52. Thank you very much. We can prep the next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? Good morning, caller.
Hey, Aaron.
Hi, good morning.
The problem we have in this country, if not all those signs, like stuff, most of them run on the Bahamians' business license, liquor license.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bahamians who own them.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. You know, we got to make a distinction between what is a nationality and what's ethnicity. Right? If those people of Chinese ethnicity are Bahamian citizens, they have the right to open a bar. Let's go to the text line. The reason why U.S. beer tastes the way it tastes and has such a low alcohol content is because, like in biblical days, the water was unsafe to drink. So, okay. Nero, you remember there's a time, like in Germany, in the medieval times, where they had not mastered water sanitation techniques yet.
Okay.
And so it was a time where it was safer to drink beer than water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good day, the Bible would never condemn alcohol, wine, mainly because it was safer to drink than water, which would likely give you the runs. Now, BC, there's hundreds and hundreds of years between BC and medieval times. Yeah. Here's a text. What if the liquor store was there before the church? No, absolute consideration. Good morning, Aaron and C.A. They have problems now because there's a church in every storefront plaza, right? These are considerations. Remember when some of the churches say, yeah, we ain't into paying taxes. We doing God's work. We ain't into paying taxes. Mm-hmm. You pay taxes so that you can be considered in conversations like this. Not paying taxes don't mean you're not considered, right? However, if an entity existed before the church, what's the consideration? However, what if that entity that there was there before the church still falls outside of the existing regulations, the regulations that existed when they were authorized?
And hence the need for the public consultation, because it seems that this question on what if the bar was there before the church or the school came, et cetera,
yeah,
is on people's minds. They're right. Concerned about it. They want to know the consideration for it. So this is where the public consultation come and people ask, they've seen one question, and the government will give an official position on it.
And, you know, one of the things I talk about constantly is the government's need to be able to move at the pace of its own policies, right? Now you see why wide public consultation and broad is necessary. Ministry of Education should be having regular discussions, public consultations about locations for new schools, right? So investors and business owners could get a sense of how a constituency or a community may change over the next 10 to 20 years. That's why national development plans are important. Producer, let's prep the caller. Back to this article. She said authorities are closely monitoring the rise of drive-up or walk-up liquor stores. Let me tell you why this is a problem, drive-up liquor stores, and they talk about the windows, right, where you could go up to the window to order liquor, window, like a fast food restaurant. That would be okay if we had police actually enforcing laws on the road. Like, see, that's the problem.
I'm more concerned about liquor stores that is a restaurant in the day and then transition to be just a liquor store on weekends and then after hours, like 5 o'clock.
And whether they operating within the limits of the regulations?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's important.
Because now they'll say, man, I'm a restaurant. I'm not a liquor store. So I can continue.
Yeah, but you're not sitting down. You know, people are not sitting in to drink. If you're serving them liquor to take home. Mm. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron, and good morning, CA.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, I can hear you.
Yeah, Aaron, you owe me one. You owe me one, and I'm asking you if you would engage me. You know, one time we were supposed to touch on crime, and I only had about 5 minutes of the show. So would appreciate if you would give me that opportunity to address this crime problem in a comprehensive way with clear, concise, durable solutions to what I always describe as a simple fix.
But hold on, Duncan, let me owe you one and give you a whole show, though.
I don't hear what you say.
Let me give you a whole show.
I really would appreciate it, Aaron, but...
Kermit, take Duncan's...
Telephone
number for me. Okay, I only got 8 minutes left, Duncan.
Okay. But I just wanted to just leave this with you before I leave my number.
Okay.
Do you think we need to do a study on this proliferation of liquor stores and to see if it has a direct or indirect correlation to the amount of bloodshed on our streets? If I wouldn't believe some of these fellas would be drunk when these things are really... taking place.
I think there's a cocktail. Hold on. I think there's a cocktail of intoxicants involved. I don't think you're wrong. I think alcohol is likely one of them. Let's have a show, and in that show, we're gonna frame a proposition to the University of the Bahamas, because we know Mr. William Fielding. I think Dr. Fielding. He's doing tons of research. Let's put it on the table, because you're not the first, and you're not gonna be the last. To demand that we do a study to determine whether there is a correlation, right?
Right.
Let's get the data. Let's get the data so that we could build the programs.
Exactly. And that's basically what I'm always data-driven, and I can't really make comments unless I don't have it. I can't substantiate it with scientific data. But I would leave my number, and I really would like to bring, because it seems to me that the President, Prime Minister, and the leader of the opposition, they don't seem to have an understanding on exactly what to do. Because all you're hearing is a bunch of regurgitating, of them reciting and telling us what we are experiencing. But in terms of the durable solution, there ain't none.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. Not on the table right now. Okay, thank you very much. And if you get disconnected, just call the station and leave the number with the receptionist. All right, let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are you doing today?
What are we doing today?
I said, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing well.
That's excellent. I am calling in connection with you're talking about the barrooms and the storefront shirt. They made it seem like, your callers made it seem like the pastors are that naive to know that if they come into a storefront, they cannot protest against restaurants that are selling alcohol or barrooms selling alcohol, whomever is selling the alcohol, how could they protest if they just reach? I'm saying as pastor, you know you met that liquor store there. There's no need to have a concern over that. So don't make it seem like, and now this is addressing your callers, like because you have started a church in a storefront, just like the barrooms or the liquor store, they were working with someone also, and they saw the need to have a liquor store of their own because they saw the profit in it for them. Nobody is complaining that they decided to do that. So you don't need to be demeaning or negatively making statement that because the pastor started a church in a storefront, they have a problem with it. Now, any pastor who started who goes in a storefront, they know if they meet a liquor store that they can't complain on who's making noise and all that because they met that there. So it's just because I thought I should call to put that there. We're not in the arcade, trying to wonder what we're doing. We know what we're doing when we are doing what we think God called us to do. That's all I wanted to point out there. If you meet a barroom in the area where you're moving a storefront, it is a commercial area where you can rent a space. And for the most part, that's temporary for a church to be in a storefront because they would move when they're able to to build what they want to build.
Okay, thank you very much, Carl.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. And I think the critique is less a concern about pastors and people who operate churches complaining and more a concern that that churches would be prioritized because of the constant cry that we're a Christian nation. And I think that's what it is, right? That there's just a concern that the policy would possibly prioritize churches, right? But not a direct critique of pastors themselves. Let's go to the phone line, producer. Good morning, caller. Oh, sorry, we missed you. Here we go. Aaron, just a reminder that while Jesus did turn water into wine, John 2, 1 and 11, the Bible never specifically says that wine contained alcohol. Listen.
I wonder.
In that instance.
No.
Listen, Yuri, I'm telling you, the woman went into the restaurant and she said, do you have fish on the menu? And the waiter said, yes. And she said, oh, do you have fish that don't swim? Because I only eat fish that don't swim. And I know a couple of people, they had Hasty Times, by the way, who say they only drink alcohol with wine with no alcohol in it. And they tell me they straight because they only drink wine with no alcohol in it.
No, I've seen wine with no alcohol.
It's not wine.
Yeah, but...
No, if it has no alcohol in it, then it's not wine.
My problem is norms in that area. They have a wine with alcohol. Why would Jesus change it to something what is not a cultural norm? They know exactly what he's changing to. And that's why they brag and say, this is one of the best tasting ones I've ever tasted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they said, this is wine.
Wine inherently
they knew the difference.
Have alcohol in it. However... what I'm concerned about is, Jesus was getting married to Mary of Magdalene. Because who would you go to? If you're having a party and you run out of liquor, who are you going to go to tell that we run out of liquor? And who do you expect
they're going to marry
to
them.
Get
they,
more they didn't go liquor? To
Jesus. They didn't go to Jesus. They're going to Mary. Mary knew that her son used to do magic. Say, man, work this out for me.
No, they went to Mary of Magdalene and say, listen,
no,
listen,
not
Jesus
that Mary.
Is busy, but we need more wine. Here's another text. It says, Aaron, please remind everyone that alcohol is classified as a stupefying drug under the DEA. That's because it makes you stupid when consumed. It's clear. Okay, went to med school in Washington. Yeah, man, alcohol is wine have alcohol in it. I just need you all to know that.
It's what it is. It's not.
And if I find out you tell the police you're not drunk because not all wine have alcohol in it, I will sponsor you a night in Fox Hill. Bahamas Department of Corrections. Here's another text quickly. Good morning. What does it mean that a church has a storefront? No, a church in a storefront, right? Like it means that the church is in a plaza. And then you heard the pastor or the church member of the church community that called in to say that typically a storefront is a temporary home for a church. Good morning, caller. You got 15 seconds. Good morning. Oh, you ain't got no seconds at all. Sorry. Caller, one last text. Good morning. I don't think any liquor license will be rejected. The Department of Inland Revenue just trying to double dip on these liquor stores. Now they'll be paying two sets of fees to operate. Now listen, that's a question I had as well, you know. Why two sets of fees? Why wouldn't this be a part of the business license? I just saying. Anyway, it's very interesting article.
Love it, Kermit. Love it.
Liquor stores face new process for licensing focused on restricting proximity to schools and churches. Take a read. Call Department of Inland Revenue for more information, especially if you are a pastor of a church or you own a liquor store or you want to own a liquor store. Some of the headlines we didn't get into today. Activist says Bahamas immigration laws remain strict and officers are doing their job. Continued influx of Haitians driven by local employers, says Georges, is too headlines, coroner, Evan Fox, death ruled murder, and then former political hopeful convicted of sexual assault of teen. Oh boy, the headlines. Trial date set for ex-children's home boss accused of molesting ward. And then in today's Guardian, Davis urges killers to turn themselves in. I'm glad you started doing that. There's plenty of people you're supposed to urge to go see the police, but you didn't. Online, attorney in trouble on fake AI cases. We can talk about all of these in the upcoming week. Have a great day, Guardian Radio AAM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.